It is Thursday night again, and it's already December 6th of 2018, and this is the Natural Healing Call. And tonight we have Ben Miller, who's going to talk about environmental illness and chronic non-lethal illnesses. So go ahead, Ben.
Hi. When I was a child, my mother said I was the easiest baby in the world to take care of. I had no health problems. I had hardly ever cried. And I asked my mother, when did I start scratching myself? Constantly temper tantrums, yelling, screaming, never content, always miserable. She said 3 months old. So I went to the doctor, and I got my records, and I was vaccinated 3 days, 3 months, and I mean 3 months and 1 day after I was born. So I started investigating vaccinations, and I realized I had a lot of the side effects from all these things. So I had to figure, like, how do you deal with something like that? So I figured, well, in the 19th century, people didn't have, heart disease was rare, the cancer rates were low, very low, autism was unheard of, and allergies weren't really that common at all. And I figured, well, let's see if I can go back to the 19th century. What were they doing? So then I figured, well, there's Beauchamp. Beauchamp believed in strengthening the host. The Pasteur believed in killing the bugs inside you. So I figured I'm going to go by Beauchamp's principle because it seems to be the using Pasteur a lot now. So I did it, and it was successful, and it really does help you, and it can do a lot. But I realized that Pasteur has some principles too. But then if you want to follow Beauchamp's principle and strengthen the host, it's quite difficult because since World War II, there have been hundreds of thousands of chemicals that human beings have not come in contact with in millions of years of evolution. So I figured, well, how am I going to combat that? Because strengthening the host with all these toxins is a task. In fact, many people believe you need 3 livers now to detoxify everything that's assaulting us, from pesticides to pollution to chemicals in the animal supply, hormones, antibiotics, artificial coloring, MSG, fluoride, chlorine, and on and on and on. So I did everything I could. You get a water filter, you get a shower filter, you avoid plastic bottles because they have bisphenols. They're quite dangerous, and they also create estrogen. A lot of estrogenic compounds in the environment, which is really bad for men. They come from plastic bottles, pesticides. The sperm count in men is way down since it was in World War II, and pollution. All kinds of toxins. So there was a. So I was thinking that you have to avoid the toxins. A lot of people have illnesses, whether it's arthritis or skin problems, colds. They get subjected to infections, or they're sickly, or whatever ailments they may have. It's often due to toxins in the environment, but people are looking for the magic bullet because we're trained in the Pasteur method of cure. Well, that's not so easy because if something's 3% of the problem, if you're susceptible to these things, and something's 10%, another is 5%, you're not going to find the magic bullet. You have to detoxify all the way, and if you're willing to do that, you might get success. So I realize that one has to be vigilant in their health, and they can't take anything for granted. Now, it takes 3 days for something to leave your system. So we all know that children can become hyperactive and antsy and ADD, ADHD, or whatever else they other diseases they label people. So it takes 3 days for food to go out of your system. Let's say, for instance, Friday morning, Johnny has Captain Crunch, a Tang, and other sugary chemicals, non-nutritious food. So he's hyperactive, he's miserable, he's yelling, he can't concentrate, he's bouncing off the walls. And I said 3 days to leave your system. So Monday morning, 72 hours later, he's really getting really antsy, really hyperactive, more than he was all 3 days. And then his mother says, oh, Johnny just didn't have his breakfast yet. So Johnny eats his breakfast because he needs his fix like a junkie. And the mother thinks, oh, he's better now. But if she waited till Monday night, she would have realized that Johnny would have been better if he just ate a good breakfast and didn't, and then he would have been calm and wouldn't have these stagnant, all these ups and downs and can't concentrate. It's called attention fatigue syndrome. It was coined by, I believe it was Saren Randolph or Ralph Moss. They wrote An Alternative Approach to Allergies. And so these, a person has to have steady energy, and it's often because of food. And it's been well documented in many books, of Alternative Approach to Allergies, Good Food, Good Mute, Good Food, Good Mood, Brain Allergies by Dr. Philpott, and many others. So it's just important that people really pay attention and don't get addicted to the bad foods. There's a lot of things going on in the environment that can be really harmful, from rugs, and especially those shaggy rugs. They emit all kinds of chemicals. So your orthodox allergist doesn't really understand allergies. They go by the IgE-mediated allergy, which is immediate hypersensitivities. And oftentimes, they don't help their patients. And naturopaths and other doctors go with IgG-mediated. It's called food sensitivities or food hypersensitivities, delayed hypersensitivities. And it's often very accurate for foods, and it also helps many people if they can get rid of the offenders. If you really have a lot of allergies and environmental illness, you should be reading An Alternative Approach to Allergies by Theron Randolph, Harvard-trained allergist. So one should always be vigilant. Now, the foods can also inflame your brain. So you have foods that or triggers that can give you a runny nose, give you inflamed skin, give you joint problems, lung problems, breathing problems, and even depression. And so allergies, food sensitivities, offenders, I really don't like, however you want to put it, the symptoms are often or sometimes the same. So you have to, the brain can also be inflamed, as documented in Brain Allergies and Saren Randolph, Alternative Approach to Allergies. Alan Cott documented this. He's a medical doctor, psychiatrist specializing in nutrition. So your brain can be swollen, and it can lead to depression and fatigue and all kinds. Wheat is well known to inflame your brain. A lot of people can't tolerate wheat. There was a study done in Russia where they took so-called mental patients, and they fasted them. And the mental patients, sort of, their mental symptoms went away. And they, but they started becoming very emotional, very angry, extremely manic, laughing hysterically, all kinds of very intense emotions. And they continued fasting the patients. And then, since their mental symptoms went away, they became very emotional. And then they continued treatment, and their emotions became healthy. And then, but then, guess what? They got physical symptoms. They started getting skin diseases. They started getting breathing problems, headaches, nausea, all kinds of physical problems. And then they continued treatment, and they went away. This is known as Herring's Law. Herring's Law is has three planes: mental plane, emotional plane, physical plane. So you can, if your mental plane is disturbed, you have to cure that, and then it goes to the emotional, then the mental, I mean the physical. So people who have good constitutions, successful people in my opinion, often have these planes intact, because they usually ward off colds fast. Other people, they get a cold, they're sickly, they're miserable. But professional people, I've noticed, they usually have good constitutions. They usually don't succumb to a lot of these things. And I believe that's why they're successful. So as you know, if a homeless person eats out of a dumpster, they usually don't get sick because they're used to it. It's a slow decline, but they've gotten used to it. It's called the laws of compensation. I believe that we're all under the laws of compensation nowadays, because of all the toxins we eat, if a person does not eat healthily and all the other assaults they have, they always have to compromise themselves, sort of like a homeless person, because they have to adjust themselves to everything we're eating, which is not natural. And it takes a huge toll on people, and that's why people can succumb to diseases. So it's always important to get your clean water, avoid plastics, and have proper nutrition. Pesticides are a real problem. There was a study done at Rutgers University that affects your brain waves in a negative way. If pesticides aren't good for the earth, they're not good for us. Where we are, we have to be in tune with the earth. So we have to always be vigilant. Now, there's a lot of things people can do to be healthy. Of course, exercise and attitude. There's also people often involved in energy medicine. Magnets are a great way to health. They can oxygenate you. There are medical magnets on the market. They spin the cells in the proper way, and they can relieve headache pain. They're good for backaches. If you have a plastic ball magnet, which is very minor, and put it over your heart, a very low gauge, it will prevent atherosclerosis. So it's energy medicine is a great tool. There are many ways to hands-on healing, Reiki, magnets, acupuncture. They're all good energy healers. I've seen people who have been involved in energy medicine, and they've always been dogmatic that that's the way to go, and that's how they do it, but they drop dead because they forgot the basics. Energy medicine is not going to clear your tubes. If your tubes are clogged, whether it's your airways, your esophagus, your urinary tract, your lymphatic system, your bile duct, wherever the tubes are in you, they have to be clear and functioning. Otherwise, it's going to be a problem. So there's no one way of healing. I believe in freedom of choice. One should always be always look in different opinions when it comes to medicine, because I've seen doctors from even Ivy League medical schools disagree vehemently with each other on treatments. So I never accept one opinion. I always search for where and get different opinions on what people say. I'm a big fan of Dr. Lederman. He's in New York City. He's on the radio on many stations. He's a Harvard. I wasn't going to talk about non-lethal disease, but I think this is interesting. Dr. Lederman is a cancer specialist, triple board certified radiation oncology, internal medicine, Harvard trained, and he does radiological surgery. He's on the radio for hours every day. He's on, and you sit on a table, and if you have cancer, the most typical cancers, pancreatic cancer, brain cancer. And what he does is he gives beams to you. You lie on the table for 5 or 10 minutes for like over maybe 2 months, 5 or 6 treatments. No pain, no blood, no nothing. The beams go at the cancer and they're destroyed. The problem with the conventional chemotherapy is it destroys your whole immune system and all over you, all your cells. But the radiological surgery simply goes after the cancer cells with no side effects. So I think that's really, really quite impressive. 1 second, I'll take a drink of water. So there's a million therapies out there that one can utilize. I've noticed as time goes on that there are so many therapies. If you really look hard, you'll find all kinds of things that one can use if you really investigate things. I also believe I don't discount brain biochemistry. However, I do believe in the Chinese system of mental health. I believe it's about clearing your organs. It's about harmony with your surroundings, in tune with nature, it's food for the seasons, grounded. And I think in our society, we're very not grounded because of the radiation and so forth. If you walk barefoot on grass, I think it can get you in tune with the earth's core and really ground you and really relax you, especially nowadays with all our assaults on us. There's all kinds of things that one can do, especially for heart disease and even mental health. That, for instance, as far as the brain goes, there are many nutrients for the brain that one can utilize. In the conventional psychiatrists use lithium for bipolar depression, usually prescribed 2 milligrams as the usual dosage. One second. But it doesn't really do the trick because it goes throughout all your system and you get side effects and you get tremors. Hans Nieper from Germany invented something called lithium orotate, where the lithium mineral attaches to the orotate, and it goes directly to your brain. It's only 2 or 3 milligrams, and it goes directly to your brain with no side effects, and it's very effective for people with bipolar disorder. You can even get it over the counter. It's quite cheap. It's also good for people with autism. Children with autism could very well use lithium orotate because it fixes the brain damage that is done from vaccines. See, what happens is your cells are overstimulated, so if you get, say somebody gives you $1 and you have to give them 75 cents change, they'll think, oh, should I give 5 dimes, 2 nickels, and pennies, whatever. Other people don't care, just give them the change, 3/4, 5 dimes, 2 nickels, whatever. But autistic children, they're always thinking, overthinking, and they really don't get to get earthy and do what's needed to be. So lithium orotate can help that. Dr. Blaylock, he's a brain surgeon, he's retired now. This is a quote. Everyone who's been vaccinated is brain damaged, plain and simple. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. So we always have to take care of our nervous system and our brain nowadays. Carnosine, C-A-R-N-O-S-I-N-E, is a very powerful antioxidant for the brain, for the nervous system. There are astaxanthin, it's a carotenoid, A-S-T-A-X-A-N-T-H, I guess it's I-N, astaxanthin. That's a 50 times more powerful antioxidant than your other vitamins, or the C or E, I forget. So that's really, it goes in the brain, it's very important. One should be careful to get enough sleep. Problem with psychiatry is they're very conforming. It's a very conforming method of healing. The Chinese system of mental health is more of an internal way of dealing with life and getting in tune with the earth, dealing with your surroundings and the internal, while it seems to be very effective. So there's all kinds of ways to be healthy. Let's see. Oh, I had some notes. Where's my notes? Let's see. Now, there's other things for the brain. There's glycerol, phosphorylcholine. There's uridine. There's that gastroid. And gastroidin actually grows new brain cells. Anyone with minimum brain function, Alzheimer's, mild cognitive impairment, and so forth, should be taking gastroidin. And gastroidin is been on the market relatively new, I think. And uridine, U-R-I-D-I-N-E, that's good for the brain. And tryptophan, of course. Threonine is good for the memory. It's an amino acid, T-H-R-E-O-N-I-N-E. One should not take amino acids with protein because it will compete because the proteins are amino acids. So there's all kinds of avenues to health. You just have to be utilize your brain. Don't get into a a mechanistic way of thinking. Let's see. It says, ways to heal as far as aerobic exercise is very important. 50 minutes to over, I would say 50 minutes to 75 minutes, 6 days a week. You can break it up, but if we walk briskly, that's the best way to health. One should always take antioxidants before exercising and after exercising, because that'll preserve your life and make you live longer. That way it'll, see, antioxidants protect your telomeres. Telomeres are like a ladder. You step on the ladder, it's strong, and the steps are wide. The further you go up, the less steady it is, and the steps are shorter. You want to keep yourself on the bottom ladder, and free radicals such as pollution, pesticides, and all these things will shorten your telomeres, and you do not want to shorten your telomeres. So, what else was I going to say? There's also ways to, if you want all the colors on of the rainbow in your food, you want the yellows, your blues, your oranges, your greens, your reds, all of them. They all serve a different function. And let's see. I have to be good at knowing yourself. If something's not right for you, don't do it. Just don't do it. And if somebody says, well, it's okay, well, if you don't like it, it doesn't feel right with you, don't convince yourself it's right for you, because you're usually right. And let's see. There's also ways of dealing with and sleep. Melatonin is an antioxidant. Some people need 1 milligram, some people need 10 milligrams. It all depends on your system. Now, as far as going the intestines, candidiasis is a big problem nowadays. If a person takes antibiotics, it destroys your good, healthy flora in your intestines. There's something called systemic candidiasis, where the yeast overgrows in your intestine, and then oftentimes people with fungal infections or yeast infections in their toes or something, it's often starts in their intestine, and one has to take probiotics to help that. Dr. Perlmutter is a neurologist in Florida. He has a whole line of products, not out of promoting anybody, but each one for a specific thing, and it's all based on probiotics. He believes that the probiotics are really, there's so many nerves in the stomach that it's crucial to take care of it. So I believe in freedom of choice, but I want to tell you how the psychiatric drugs work. They destroy your hardware. For instance, when you take an antidepressant, it increases the connection between the cells. It's called synapses. So the connection between the cells is so strong that the information going from one cell to the other, it burns out the cells. It burns out your hardware. So sure, you'll feel good for a while, but then your brain's zapped, and where are you going to go from there? You need your hardware, otherwise you're not going to be doing well. So fluoride is a problem because it lowers your IQ, it destroys your pineal gland, and it's really unhealthy. Iodine is very healthy, and we don't use enough of it. Chlorine, fluorine, and bromine are the same valence as iodine. They're similar elements. So your thyroid needs iodine. However, the thyroid is fooled because it often takes up chlorine, bromine, and fluoride. And they're all no good for you. So you should be taking iodine. Now, in the 70s, they added bromide to the bread and the wheat supply. I'm not sure why they did it, but it was really a downer. It did not go well as far as health goes. Now, let's see what else. Can't find my notes, but that's all right. So I, so it's exercise, eating healthy, and juicing is really good. Juicing is raw fruits, raw vegetables, carrots. All of them basically are good because it liberates the nutrients, and it's more the nutrients are more easily available. Also, there are a few foods that are actually more nutritious when cooked. One is carrots. Carrots juiced or cooked is much more healthier than eating it raw. Also, tomato sauce is even healthier than tomatoes. And let's see. It's always important to train your children not to eat sugar. If you train them to eat healthy foods, they will not like Coca-Cola. If you have a child who's 7 or 8 and you train them to eat healthfully, oftentimes they'll say, Coke, oh, that's too sweet. I don't want that. If you have caffeine, you must be taking phenylalanine because caffeine depletes your phenylalanine, which is a neurotransmitter in your brain, and you definitely don't want that. Now, there's a there's fenugreek. Fenugreek is an herb for diabetes. It lowers your blood sugar. I've told a lot of people, they're so happy I told them about fenugreek. It lowers your blood sugar, and it's really quite amazing how well it does. The problem with fenugreek, unlike a lot of herbs, is that it's not a balancer. If you have low blood sugar, it will lower it. But if you have high blood sugar, it'll bring it to normal. Cinnamon is also a good herb for blood sugar. If a person is hungry and they just feel like they have to eat, take water and put lemon in it. That will oftentimes deal with your hunger. I'm a big fan of ozone. There was an expert on a few weeks ago. In fact, in Germany, it's mandatory that after surgery you give people ozone. They use antibiotics. It's used, if I'm not mistaken, 80% of the time. It's really the treatment of choice in Germany for infections and other assaults on people. Vitamin C, you have to take about 6 times a day. That way your blood will be always have it in you. And always take it before you go to sleep. And start off a little bout until you get loose bouts, then you back off, then you know you're saturated. IVC is really quite good, too. There are many things from the brain that have been coming out lately. One is huperzine. One is bacopa, is an Indian herb, which is quite good for the brain. There's vinpocetine. Vinpocetine is good for the brain. It really creates blood flow. If you really want to get blood flow flowing, you take ginkgo biloba, 240 milligrams, 24% glycosides, and that will get your blood flowing. Also, spearmint extract and other mint extracts is quite good for the brain. Pregnenolone also helps the brain. If a person has low energy or stamina, they might need DHEA. But you really can't, you take it when you're probably a little older. People under 25, I'm not sure they really need the DHEA. Blueberries are great. Anyone who has brain problems must be taking blueberries. Berries are powerful antioxidants. I'm a big fan of strawberries. And everybody knows cranberries are good for the urinary system. The Indian foods are great because they're hot and they help your heart. Spicy foods are good for your heart. That cayenne pepper is one of the best things you can do for your heart. And the nutrition is lacking. It's not as bad as it used to be, but keep in mind, in the 50s, doctors thought smoking was healthy. So what makes you think we should believe any of them now? I'm not sure I do, but they just do what they were taught. They weren't taught nutrition, so oftentimes they spread themselves out too far, and they go in fields that they really are not meant to be in. Nutrition. E, tocotrienols. Tocotrienols are a part of the vitamin E, but you should be taking vitamin E and tocotrienols, all four, alpha, beta, gamma, and delta, and I think believe that tocotrienols come in those four forms also. B-complex. Autistic children oftentimes have the problem dealing with B12. You want the B12 that's methylcobalamin. Methylcobalamin is a step past the usual B12, so the children don't have to, or even adults don't have to convert the B12, go through all the chemical pathways. They just do the B12 methylcobalamin, and it's much more effective, and that way they don't have to worry whether they're absorbing it or not. The sublingual, of course. And fat-soluble vitamin C, I think, is useful, but you have to be careful with that. And then I've seen a study, so I can't quote it, but I've seen a study that says that if you take vitamin A and beta-carotene, it's better than a flu shot. In fact, if you go to YouTube and you put in vaccine Pentagon, you will see someone snuck a video into the Pentagon, and this guy tells you how the vaccines are there to sort of manipulate the public, the flu vaccine. The flu vaccine is there to manipulate the brains, a little tweak so they're more controlled. It was in a speech at the Pentagon. Someone snuck it in. I don't know if it was taken down. I don't know if it's still up there. Of course, the usual thing is garlic for candidiasis, yeast in the stomach, in the intestine, garlic, antibiotics, powder arco, which is a herb, tahibo, tea, oregano, oil is a great antifungal. Olive leaf extract is a great antibiotic. Systemic candidiasis is often a problem. It causes brain fog, confusion, fatigue. Problem with candidiasis is people often don't know. They get a Herxheimer reaction. It sort of comes back on them. They can't detoxify it, so the toxins go into them and it causes problems, and they can't get rid of them. Because they kill the yeast, but then the yeast goes into overdrive, and they can't get rid of it. It's called the Herxheimer reaction. There's something called Candida cell wall suppressor, which actually breaks the exoskeleton of the yeast. You don't get any side effects, and it actually gets rid of the yeast instead of just subduing it, because yeast is quite difficult to kill. But that does it. And there are all kinds of antibiotics on the market. Make sure it gets past your stomach so your gastric, the pH in your stomach can open this. You want enteric coated so it gets into the intestine. Enemas are good. Coffee enemas are good. I often put a magnet on my liver. It's because I believe, well, the organs can affect your emotions, and some people are more susceptible to that type of thing than others. But I always like to put a magnet on my liver. I always be vigilant in health, because in this society, if you're not vigilant in your health, before you know it, things can crop up, and asanas are good, and all these things are healthy. And so if anybody has any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
I have a question.
Okay. Yep. Anybody that has questions, speak right up.
You mentioned something that was good, and then you said, but I don't want to do any advertising or push anybody. Do you remember what that was? I didn't catch the name of it.
Oh, was it maybe there was a book that was written? It's called An Alternative Approach to Allergies by Saren Randolph, M.D. And if a person has a lot of food problems, I think that's the Bible for allergies and food sensitivities.
Okay, thank you.
And if a person wants to test themselves because they don't find results from their regular doctor regarding food, one can do a Coco Pulse test. If you go on the internet, you'll probably find it. Basically, you get up in the morning and measure your pulse. The specifics are online. It's called the Coco Pulse test. And if you eat a food and your pulse goes up, you know it's not good for you.
Hmm.
And I believe...
How do we get a copy of this recording?
It's posted on the Natural Healing webpage on our website.
Okay.
You just scan down and you'll find it listed. It'll be the first one because it's the most recent at the bottom of the text. And you can listen to it there.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
And the person takes a shower. They should use citrus soap, which you can get in the health food store, lemon soap, orange soap, and so forth, because citrus has the same pH in your skin, and you'll find yourself feeling good if you use citrus-based soap. And I bought my toothpaste in the Indian grocery store around the corner from me. It has no fluoride. It's just herbs, and it's so much better than your Crest, Colgate, and all those. And
yeah, I know they're kind of sneaky on the toothpaste. I have a variety, and I don't remember what the brand is, but they got bought out about a year ago, and it was fluoride-free, and now 4 out of 5 of their flavors have fluoride in them again, so you have to be careful and check the label to make sure you get the one without. You know, they're very sneaky little devils.
I believe health is subtle. One has to be... This little thing can get you, but you don't realize it. You have to be, you know... You don't want to cut corners and gamble and play around.
Now, I find your comment on lemon soap interesting because I've tried the lemon soap, and I do much better with the lavender oil soap. The lemon soap tends to make me itch a little.
It's probably not the lemon. It's probably something else in the soap.
Anyone else have any questions for Ben?
I like that lemongrass. Soap and lotion.
Oh,
no.
Lotion. Lemongrass is good. Find it in Thai dishes.
I also found that to prevent heart problems, there's formulas, but they contain B2, B6, folate, and vitamin B12 as methylcobalamin. If you take those, it can often be great for your heart. I'm a big fan of Gary Null. I like his nutritional comments. I learned from him. Green tea is great too, but it has to be organic.
What's good for high blood pressure?
Let's see. Staying away from carriers, like toxic people. What else? Calcium, garlic,
magnesium.
Exercise.
Seemed like there's one more thing besides calcium and magnesium. Is it ginger or was it something else that's good altogether?
Was it licorice?
It wasn't licorice. That leaches potassium, I think it is, out of your body. Well, it's nice to know we have a healthy group here that don't have many health questions. That's a good thing.
They're pushing zinc for that crud that seems to be passing through the communities now. What's your perspective on that?
Well, zinc is good. People are often deficient in zinc. I think it's about 22 milligrams is usual dosage, which will do good for people. It also chelates heavy metals out of you. Men need it a lot. Your zinc picolinate is the best. It's called zinc picolinate, P-I-C-O-linate.
And they've said zinc is great for colds for a long, long time, as long as I can remember. The trouble is some of the forms of zinc are kind of hard on your stomach.
Hmm.
I noticed that when I'm in, I don't like the heat. When I'm in New York, I live in the New York City area. When it gets hot in the summer, I really can't stand it. I have to be in air conditioning. But when I'm in Florida or some other place, it doesn't bother me all that much, the heat. Don't like it, but it's not a major issue. I think the pollution and the heat really cause a problem because that's, you know, people get asthma and all kinds of other problems. In fact, with the chemtrails coming, I've seen people in the neighborhood who are like big, strong, tough people, like football players. Even they're succumbing to the breathing problems. I think it's because of something that's coming in the air that's new where I live.
I know in the times that I've gone into New York City and spent a day, come home and take a shower, I realize how much fell on me while I was there. Just the dirt and grime falling out of the air on you before chemtrails came along even. So you wouldn't be surprised if you had respiratory problems if you lived there, you know, inhaling all that stuff. I forget how many years that takes off your lifespan to live in a big city, but it is a measurable quantity up in the years. Well, do we have any more questions, or shall I turn off the recording and take the recording off and get ready for the next call? Well, I'd like to thank you, Ben, for a very interesting and informative call tonight, and I'm going to turn off the recording.